Today we're learning Nida Nun Tet. We're going to start at the bottom, Meitivei. We're going to ask a question right now on Rav Huna. If you remember, we had a whole debate between Rav Huna and Rav Chista about, is kigris like more than a gris or less than a gris? Meaning if a woman sees a stain that's the size of a gris, do we assume that it came from a louse? Or do we say, no, a gris is already considered like more than a gris and we have to assume that she's a Nida. So Meitivei. Hayu aleha tipei damim lamata v'tipei damim lamala. Here, lamata and lamala is not location. It means small and large. That's what Rashi says. Klamar ketanim or gedolim. Okay, she has spots of blood on her that are larger or smaller. Here, we're talking about actually on her clothing. Tola be'elyon ad kigris. Okay, the big, larger ones we can say are fine as long as they're until a gris. So now, my love, kigris milamata, doesn't it sound like a gris is like less than a gris? So then they say, lo, kigris milamala. No, that doesn't necessarily prove anything. Again, we're left with the same problem there of ad kigris. Ad is not clear whether it's ad including or ad not including. So they reject this as a problem against Rav Huna. Itmar, nimtza aleha kigris va'od. Okay, here we're going to see a machloket amoraim about Ketem being about the size of a gris and matiring women. Nimtza aleha kigris ve'od. Ve'oto od ritzufa bo macholet. So now, what if you find, okay, this is a bit of a different issue. I mean, it's similar, but you have a spot, a ketem of a gris, but a little more than a gris, which normally we say is a problem. But that little more then had a crushed louse on it. So there was the bug on it, on the ketem. So on the spot. Rabbi Chanina Omer Tmea says she's Tmea because it's larger than a gris. Rabbi Yana Omer Tahora because you can say that maybe there was some other bug and that's what caused the gris size and the part where there's the va'od, the extra part, has a bug on it. So we can assume that that came from the bug, in which case we can assume that there's really two spots here. So let's read this inside, how they explain. Rabbi Chanina Omer Tmea Ki Talia B'Kigris. B'Kigris V'od Lo Talia. This is very simply. We go by a gris, and this is more than a gris. Rabbi Yana Omer Tohora Hanimile Hecha De Lo Ritzufa Ba Macholet. That's only if there's no Macholet there. Aval Hecha De Ritzufa Ba Macholet. Now that you have this crushed bug there, Mucha Chamilta Dehai V'od Da Macholetu. Therefore, we can assume that's the Da Macholet, the V'od. Pashli Kigris, take away the gris now. Kevan De Ba'alma Talia Hachinami Talia, since generally we say a gris is fine, in this case also we say a gris is fine, exactly as I explained before. Okay, by Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah comes with his usual questions. Nit aska b'kigris v'nimtza aleha b'kigris. Let's say she was dealing with some blood that, I didn't finish reading. V'nimtza aleha b'kigris v'od. Okay, she was dealing with something that had blood that was the size of a gris, right? That's again that split bean. And then she has blood that's a little bit more than a gris, which means part of the ketem has to do with whatever she was dealing with. It was red in color. But then the ve'od, what do we do with that? So they say, tibai le Rabbi Chanina, tibai le Rabbi Yana. We're going to ask the question according to both opinions that we saw before. Tibai le Rabbi Chanina, we could say, ag kan lo kama Rabbi Chanina hatam tmea ela delonit aska. When Rabbi Chanina said she's tmea with the kigris va'od, even though there's this crushed bug on it, that's only because she wasn't dealing with anything else. Aval hacha dinit aska talia. But here, where she was actually dealing with something else, and we know that that whole other size came from somewhere else, maybe then we could say so. That we could be tola and she'd be okay. O dilma afilu l'Rabbi Yanai, or alternatively, you could say, even according to Rabbi Yanai, who says, when the bug was there on the va'od part, we were able to say we can be tola the whole thing on a bug, and she's actually tola. But maybe he would only say that to Amar, Damar Torah, Hanimila Hecha de Ritzufa Boma Cholet. We have a crushed bug there. Aval Hecha de Em Ritzufa Boma Cholet. But here there's no proof on it that, yes, she was dealing with blood, but we don't know exactly that that's what the blood came from. Maybe we'd say Lo Talia. Okay, maybe you'd say we wouldn't be able to be tola. Okay, so that's the question. So now they want to know what's the answer. Tashma, let's look here at the following braita. Nitaskaba adom ein tolaba shachor. Bimuat ein tolebo merube. This is interesting. If she's dealing with red and then she has a black spot, we don't assume that the red turned to black. if she's dealing with some small amount of something, then we don't assume that a ketem that's larger is going to be, is going to make that small amount of blood she was dealing with say, oh, now obviously we don't have a ketem. We can't say that. Okay, we can't assume. So hechidami lav ki haigavne, and isn't this not talking about our case, exactly this, where it was a mu'at that she was dealing with, it was a smaller amount, and then there was a little bit more, and it was a bigger size than that, and we can't do it, and here you say it doesn't work. So the Gemara says, lo, ki gondin it aska b'chigris, v'nimtza la shnei grisim v'od. No, you could just simply say that this wasn't where it was a kigris v'od, and she had dealt with a gris, and it was just a v'od. And no, if that were the case, then maybe we could be tola. But here we're dealing with where there was two grisim and od. So one gris was from the red stuff she was dealing with, but she still had a gris v'od, and that's why you can't be tola. So now, if that's what the Braita is telling you, then it doesn't answer our question because it's dealing with a different case. However, the Gemara continues to say, but if that's what the Gemara is, the Braita is dealing with, it makes no sense because ihachi ma'ala memra. What would be the chiddush? Obviously, if there was a two grisim ve'od and there was only a gris of red stuff, obviously the two gris ve'od is going to be a problem. So there's no chiddush. So they say no because ma'u detema shkol ki gris tzipor shtei de mitzei. Zil hachaleka shiura, zil hachaleka shiura. Maybe you could say the blood, let's say, from the bird that she was, let's say she was shachting a bird, or the red stuff from the red dye she was dealing with, spilled onto her clothing, right smack in the middle of this. So now you have the smack in the middle red, you have red on the side that's less than a gris, and red on the other side that's less than a gris, even though altogether they add up to a kigris v'od, those two sides, since they're separate, maybe they're all treated separately, so maybe you could view it as if it fell into the middle, and we'd be meikel here, ka mashmalan, that we don't say that. Now why would you think we'd suggest maybe it could be meikel? Because in general we said by ketamim we're meikel, so maybe you would think that that was okay. Okay, so again, that source didn't necessarily prove anything. So they don't end up with an answer to this question, and we're moving on. Amar Rava, nimtza la min echad, tola bo kama minim. So if she finds on her clothes something that clearly comes from somewhere else, like we said about, let's say she was dealing with red paint, and it's clearly red paint on her, but then she has another color that's not red next to it. It's a different shade, let's say, of red, not the red paint she was dealing with. Since one clearly came from somewhere else, she can assume the other one also came from somewhere else. So now we question Rava with a braita. Meitive, nitaskaba adom ein tolabo shachur. Didn't we just say, right, that if she's dealing with red, then we don't assume that the black comes from the red? So the Gemara answers, nit aska shane. Now that was a case where she was dealing with red paint, and now we're going to explain it a little differently. She was dealing with red paint, then we know the color red, yes, but not the color black. But in this case, she has some spot which is clear it came from something red and not blood. Now, it doesn't look like blood. It looks like something different, and it's clear it came from something else. In that case, we're going to assume that if she's got another color next to it, that that color also must be from somewhere else. Where that's different than a case where she knew she was dealing with red paint and she has red paint on her and she also has black, and then the black must be from her blood and not from something else because she knows exactly what it was she was dealing with and that that's not the same color. Ika to Amr, some people have this whole thing coming out differently. Amr Rava, that really what Rava said was, Nitas kaba min echad, tola bo kama minim. If she was dealing with one color, then she can assume also other colors. What's the difference between this and the first version? There, the first version was she finds on herself one color, and this version is she was dealing with one color, which is the opposite of what we said before, right? Where we brought the koshi was about nitaska. But this is where she's dealing with red paint, we can assume some other paint. Then we're going to obviously have the question. Meitive, nitaska ba adom, ein tola bo shachor, right? We can't assume. So then the answer, kika amarava, di itaska ba tarnigolet. To eat ba kama mide dama. It's a case where she's dealing with a tarnigolet, shechting a hen, where there's all different colors of blood, and then even though she has different colors, we can assume that they all came from the same source. Okay, going back to the Mishnah, ma'aseh bi'isha, this was the woman who asked Rabbi Akiva a question, and he kept saying, well, maybe it opened up, and maybe, right, maybe you had a wound, it healed, maybe it opened up again, maybe, blah, blah, blah. And he mocked yours, and all the students said, what are you doing? And he said, that Chachamim, and let me just get the exact words of the Mishnah. He said, Shalom ruach Chachamim adavar lahachmir ela lahakel. So here the Gemara says, Vahatan, he doesn't say in a Brayta, Shalom ruach Chachamim adavar lahakel ela lahachmir. And he said exactly the opposite, Shalom ruach Chachamim lahachmir ela lahakel. So I'm a Ravina. Ravina explains, what does this mean? Lo lahakel al divrei Torah, ela lahachmir al divrei Torah. In other words, they didn't say it lahakel. What does it mean, lahakel? They did go lakula. What they meant was, it's not lahakel al divrei Torah, it's lahachmir, ela lahachmir al divrei Torah, uktamim atzmam de rabbanan. In other words, tamim is all a chumrah on something that says in the Torah, which is a woman who's really in nida, right, from a flow of blood. But because the rabbis wanted to be machmir, the whole thing is only de rabbanan. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah. Eid shunatun, if you remember, was an eid b'tikah that was underneath her pillow, and she finds blood, and it depends whether it's round or long. And that's Divrei Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. Ibayalehu. Mi plegi rabbanan aleit Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok olo. Do they argue with him, or is it his opinion, and nobody argues with him, or is it his opinion, and they actually argue with him? Which obviously makes a big difference, because if the rabbis argue with him, then it means we don't paskin this way. Tashma. Ketem aroch mitzteref, tipin tipin ein mitzterfin. Okay, if you have one long ketem that's longer than a grease, we can assume that it's all one ketem. But if it's small drops that aren't connected, then they don't connect for a shiur of a kegrease, right? Each one is viewed independently because it could be different bugs. Mane, so who is this source? I Rav Elazar bar Tzadok lama litzeruf. Ha'amar mashuch koshehu tameh. He said, as long as it's long in any way, it doesn't sound like it even needs a minimum shiur. Elalav rabbanan, it must be rabbanan. Ushma minah plige, and from there it sounds like they must obviously disagree. So now they say, lo, why do you assume that? Lo alam Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. Really, that source is Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. B'chi'amar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok be'ed. Aval b'ketem, lo. He was talking about specifically an eid b'dikah. There we're going to assume any size is a problem. But if it's a ketem, that's not the same as an eid b'dikah. An eid b'dikah is where you checked and you did an internal check. There, first of all, we talked about the other day that maybe she actually had a hargashah and she couldn't feel it because she was busy doing an examination there. But when it's a ketem, then we're going to say aval b'ketem, lo. And therefore, we're going to say, right, that really, theoretically, it sounds like then Chachamim wouldn't disagree with, So that just, all that does is it proves that we can't prove the Chachamim disagree with him. So now the Gemara says, Tashma, let's try this source. Damar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha K'Rav Elazar bar Tzadok. If we say the Halacha is like him, what does it sound like? Halacha Michlal de Pligi. It sounds like they actually disagree with him. But despite the fact that they disagree with him, we still paskin like him. Right? This is against what I said before, which is if we say the rabbis disagree with him, then it seems pretty obvious that we will paskin like the rabbis against him. But here it says, no. They actually disagree with him, however we paskin that way, and therefore, shma mina, that they actually disagree with him, and hadran halacha roa ketem. Now we're going to move on to the ninth parak. Ha'isha shiyosa tzracheha v'ra'ata adam. We already came across this source. We quoted it the other day. A woman who is urinating and sees blood while she's urinating. Rabbi Meir Omer, im omedet tmea, v'im yoshevet teora, depends how she was urinating. If she was standing, then what do we say? Well, we assume if she was standing that she really had to go badly, and that's why she didn't even sit down. In which case, it's very likely that while, again, I'm not exactly sure of the physiology here, but that somehow, because she had to go so badly, the urine went back up and passed the uterus as it was going back up before it came back out and took blood from the uterus, and therefore we can assume it was uterine blood. But in Yoshevet, if she's going normally, then Tehora. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ben Kach Ben Kach Tehora. Either which way she's Tehora, we don't assume blood in the urine comes from the uterus. Ish V'Shasha Su Tzarchehem L'Toch HaSefel. We have a man and a woman who both urinated into a cup or a pail or something like that. V'Nimtza Dam Al Hamayim, and we find blood in the water. Rabbi Yossi mitahel, v'Rabbi Shimon mitameh. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi says it's no problem. We can assume it came from the man, as we don't have to assume it came from her. Okay, here they claim even if she was standing up. Okay, So now this is a classic case of a sveik sveika. We're not sure, did the blood come from her or not? And if the blood did come from her, we're still not sure if it came from the uterus or not. Because even if she stood, it's only a sepik whether it came from the uterus. We're not exactly sure that the blood went back up and came, yeah, that the urine went back up and came out and took blood from the uterus on its way up. So that's Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbi Yosi's metaher. Rabbi Shimon metameh, she'ein derech ha'ish lotzi dam, he says, forget this fake sveika. It's not like a 50-50 chance it came from the man, it came from the woman. Women more likely have blood there, and men don't. And therefore, if there's blood, we're going to assume it came from the woman. And therefore, it's a problem. Maishna, so now the Gemara starts off and says, okay, back to Rabbi Meir and the standing up distinction. Maishna omedet amrina meraglaim hador lemakor va'aite dam. Right. The reason why we said it is because we're assuming that the urine went back up and came, brought blood from the uterus on its way. Yoshevet nami ne'ema me'raglayim hador lemakor va'atei dam. Maybe when she's sitting, the same thing could happen. So Amar Shmuel, when we're talking about Yoshevet, b'mizaneket. We're talking about when it goes normally in its normal way, and since there's no pressure there, so and she's just urinating normally, we're going to assume that it didn't go back up. So now the Gemara says, Mezaneket Nami. Obviously, they were struggling also to understand this. Dilma Batar de Tamu Maya Atadam. Maybe it's true that the urine, let's say, didn't go back up. However, maybe after the urine comes out, the blood came out from the uterus. And it's all from the same place. Came from different places, but it was all coming out of the same, you know, the way the urine comes out from her vagina, also the blood came out after. So Amar Rabbi Abba, b'yoshevet al sfat ha-sefel, u'mezaneket b'toch ha-sefel, b'nimtza dam b'toch ha-sefel. The case is, okay, this is interesting, it's a woman who's sitting on the edge of the pail, and what happens? She's mezaneket, right? This is in the days where they didn't have toilets, and she was urinating into the sefel. Now when you urinate, what happens? There's a stream, and it kind of goes, and it propels a little bit forward. And the dam was inside the sefel. Now, if the urine came out with, the blood came with the urine, then it would all come out into the middle of the sefel. But dim ita de batar de tamumaya ata, if it was going to come out after she finishes urinating, asfata sefeli bailele shikuche, where would you have found the blood? On the edge where she's sitting, because the blood is just going to kind of drip out. It's not going to go out in a big forceful stream like the urine. And therefore, since it's inside, we're going to assume it came from it was in, mixed up in the urine, and therefore we can assume it didn't come from the uterus afterwards. Amar Shmuel va'amre la Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel halacha ke Rabbi Yosi v'chein ore le Rabbi Abba lekala halacha ke Rabbi Yosi. Okay, so first of all, right, Shmuel says it, or maybe Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that we paskin like Rabbi Yosi that even if she's standing and there's blood in the urine, she's teora, she's not in nida. And it's the same thing that Rabbi Abba taught someone whose name is Kala, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. Okay, now we're going to get to this ish v'isha case. Two people who urinated into this pail. Ibailu, ish v'isha umdim, mali amar Rabbi Meir. So if they're both standing, what would Rabbi Meir say? Ki amar Rabbi Meir b'chad sveika, aba b'sveik sveika lo matame. Right, would he say, if she's standing, this is how I explained the mission in the first place, which is even if she's standing, so it's suffix number one, right? And that's when there's one suffix, so Rabbi Meir will say, we'll assume she's a nida. But here there's a sveik sveika because maybe it came from the man. O dilma lo shnar, maybe he says there's no difference. If she's standing, we're going to assume no matter what, it came from, we're going to assume in this case also she's tmea. So Amarish Lakish, he. Meaning that Rabbi Meir actually also disagrees with this case. Mimai, how do we know this? Mitalo katani, Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yosi mitahirim. Notice what it says in the Mishnah in the case of the Sefer. It says Rabbi Yosi mitahir v'Rabbi Shimon mitame, but it doesn't mention Rabbi Meir here. So we're going to assume that if she's standing, Rabbi Meir is going to still hold what he said earlier. We're going to assume that if she stood and urinated, even though maybe the man, the blood came from the man, we're going to assume it came from the woman. So now the Gemara says, Yihachi, Hashtar Rabbi Meir, b'sveik sveik metame, b'chad sveik amibaya. Wait, but if Rabbi Meir then, in the second case, right, this case, the Sefel case, where he's not mentioned in the Mishnah, but if he actually held in this case of the Mishnah that she's tame, even though some people say this is a sveik sveika case, so b'chad sveik amibaya, he wouldn't even need to tell us the part of in the first case. right? The first case of just omedet would obviously be the case. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that he holds this in both, and it only mentioned it in the first time. It would have said it more in the second time, and the first case would have been obvious to us. So the Gemara answers, no, lehodiacha kocho de Rabbi Yossi, tafilu b'chad sveika metahir. No, Dafka brought the second case and said Rabbi Yossi is metahir, as opposed to Rabbi Meir in the first case, who was metahir in that case. We're saying, no, Rabbi Meir is even metahir in the second case, or is, oh, sorry, let's put it this way, he's also metahir in the second case. And then, v'demiflegei b'chad sapek. And so now they say, wait, this doesn't make sense to say that Rabbi, and as they want to show, the Rabbi Meir is saying, when there's one suffix, we're matahir. Okay? So now they say, right, sorry, let me make it more clear. The reason why they brought the machloket, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi in the first case, is to show Rabbi Yossi is matir in the first case when there's only one suffix. And that's why Rabbi Meir was brought up in the Reisha, to show the machloket between them in only one suffix case. So now the Gemara says, but wait, ad miflege bechad safek lo diacha kochot Rabbi Yossi, liflege besfek sveka lo diacha kochot Rabbi Meir. In other words, either which way, you have to show the koch of one of the opinions. In the second case, it's a bigger chiddush that Rabbi Meir is metame, even though there's two svekot. And in the first case, it's more of a chiddush that Rabbi Yossi is metaher, even in one safek. So why did you choose to stress the first one rather than the second one? So the answer is, and this comes up many times in the Gemara, it's a very interesting answer, koach dehe tera adifle. We much rather go with showing who is willing to go out on a limb to be matir. It's always easier to be machmir, but the person who's being more lenient is always a bigger chiddush. And that's why, and it's also, it shows strength, that he's willing to say, we're totally going to treat her like she's fine, even though there's a doubt here, that's a stronger opinion. That's more right, which is interesting. Okay, that was all Rish Lakish to say that Rabbi Meir disagrees also in the Sveik Sveika case. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, right, remember, if she's standing. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kika Amar Rabbi Meir Chad Sveika. He's obviously going to say the opposite. Avab Sveik Sveika Lo Amar. But if it's two doubts, then we're not going to say that in the Sveik case. Even Rabbi Meir is not going to think she's choosing to Me'ah. In Cain, Litne, an obvious question, Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yossi Mitarim. Why didn't it say that Rabbi Meir is agreeing with Rabbi Yossi? So they say, what do you mean? In Achinami, that is really what they meant to say. But I did to sell me Rabbi Yossi, Patach Barod to Rabbi Yossi. Since they were the last person who was speaking in the Mishnah, it was Rabbi Yossi when he said Ben Kach Ben Kach Torah in the first part. So they continued with his name, even though really it was both of them. It's a bit of a tough answer because since in the first case Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi were disagreeing, you would think that they would have to stress that they were agreeing here. And then the Gemara says, but wait. Rabbi Yossi b'chad sveka mitahir b'spek sveka mebaya. But now we're going to have the same kind of question we had last time, but in the other direction, which is if Rabbi Yossi, and then what's the chiddush? If Rabbi Yossi said in the first case with one sefik it's tahor, what would be the chiddush to say Rabbi Yossi is also saying it's tahor in two sfekot? Obviously, it'll be the case. So ma'u detema hani mili dieved aval achatchila lo kamash malan. You might have thought that Rabbi Yossi is only mitahir b'dieved. What does it mean b'dieved? That if she touched taharot after she finds blood in the pail, right? Then we don't say. You already did it, so we're not going to bother. But lechatchila, we might say, but don't touch taharot now that you know there's blood there. Kamash malan, that you don't even have to worry about that at all. Okay? Sveik sveika, it's nothing. Okay? Even lechatchila, she can go touch taharot. Tanya kavate de Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're going to bring the Braita to support his reading. The Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi agree about this. Ishvi shasha susa tzarchehen letoch hasefa v'nimsa dam al hamayim. Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yossi mitaharim v'Rabbi Shimon mitamei. In this braita that we're quoting right now, it actually appears in the name of both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. Ibayelahu. Now we're going to go back to Rabbi Shimon, okay, or to Rabbi Shimon, who says that it's tamei in the case of the man and the woman. Isha yoshevet mali amar Rabbi Shimon. Now we're going to say, what about if the woman was sitting, and then again we see blood in the pail after she and the man were there? What is Rabbi Shimon's opinion? Do we say ki amar Rabbi Shimon be'omedet de'dachik le'ama? Do we say that Rabbi Shimon only thinks that that's the case if the woman was standing when she urinated. Aval yoshev, because again, the urine went up and collected the blood. Aval yoshevet, when we're not really choshesh for the woman at all if she was sitting and there was blood in the urine, lo. Then we wouldn't say. Oh, Dilma lo shnar, maybe he's saying even if she was sitting, even if she was standing, he's still going to be concerned. So, Tashma, let's look at the following source. Titania, as it says in the following Braita, Yoshevet Tola, Omedet Eina Tola, Dibre Rabbi Meir. Okay, again, Rabbi Meir says if she's sitting, she can be Tola that it came from somewhere else, right, from a wound, but if she's standing, we can't. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ben Kach o Ben Kach Tola. Okay, whether standing or sitting, we're still going to assume that the blood came from somewhere else. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ben Kach o Ben Kach Eina Tola. Whether she's sitting or whether she's standing, we can't be Tola on anything else. We're going to be Metameota, which would mean that Rabbi Shimon basically holds even if she's sitting. But now the Gemara asks, Sibayelu ish v'isha yoshvin mali amal Rabbi Shimon. If the man and the woman were both sitting when they urinated, what would he hold? Would we say, ki amal Rabbi Shimon omedet, didachik le'alma? Would we say, number one, Rabbi Shimon holds, if she's standing, then we're worried the urine's going to go back in. V'yoshevet. Or if she's sitting where there's one suffix only, which is maybe the urine is carrying blood from the woman. There's maybe the same thing happened when she's sitting. Again, we're struggling with how exactly it happens if the blood comes from the uterus, but maybe the same thing happened when she's sitting also. Aval bespek speka lo amar, but maybe he wouldn't say it. And as each case there, he says because there's one suffix, but maybe in the case of Sveik Sveika, lo amar. In other words, in the case, right, again, when it's she's standing, we're assuming that that she's Tmeah, right? And therefore, in this case, where it's a man, we're going to say, well, Sufik woman, Sufik man, but if it was a woman, we can assume the blood came from there. Or if she was sitting where we're not sure if it came from where the blood came from the uterus, and we're not sure if it came from a man, would we say he wouldn't say she's Tmea? Or Dilma Loshna? In other words, we're still going to ask the question because we're still not sure, right? Even if he says Yoshevet she's Tmea, maybe that's only because it's Safek. But now it's Sfek Sfek, huh? So Tashma, let's learn from the following source. Tevanda Arari Shimon. In our Mishnah, what does Rabbi Shimon say? He says, because Chezkat Damim Min Aisha. The whole reason we're going to assume is because it's more likely the blood came from the woman. Well, in that case, lo shna umdim, velo shna yoshvim. It doesn't matter whether they're standing or sitting, right? Whether she was standing or sitting, and therefore we're going to assume, even in the case of sitting, he's going to assume she's tmea. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up from the Mishnah at the bottom tomorrow.